Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you in to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Currently in Greenville Spartanburg Airport, we've got 64 degrees. Downtown Greenville, 66 degrees. And yes, you are hearing us in downtown Greenville, by the way, which we're very pleased about. Anderson, 66 degrees. Clemson, 64 degrees. Partly cloudy skies today. Highs in the lower 90s. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. So we're looking good as far as all that goes. We are happy to be back in the air in Greenville for the longest time we've been out, and even now the signal's not as strong as it should be, but we're glad that there is a signal in downtown Greenville as of this morning. So, good news. Things are progressing here at the Tyranny Response Network. Still trying to expand even further. If you can help out, by all means, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and find out how you can contribute. Go down and scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you'll find out our address there in Piedmont, South Carolina, P.O. Box 151. Or you can go to the policyofliberty.net website and make a donation through PayPal, the online payment service that accepts Visa or MasterCard. Be happy if you could do that, especially this month, as we're trying to continue to expand the capabilities of the Tyranny Response Network. Well, today's show is going to have a very special twist to it, because we're going to be talking about the Iraqi Bill of Rights as well as what George Bush is doing over there. We have a few other interesting things to continue to talk about. For instance, I notice here the BTK guy is sorry. Okay, so this is really related to the Christian worldview, apparently, but this BTK guy, which means blind torture and kill, if I'm not mistaken. Bind, torture, and kill. Thanks to the production staff for reminding me about that. He says in Wichita that he's sorry. Confessed BTK serial killer Dennis Rader made his first public apology for the murders that horrified a community for a quarter century, blaming a demon that got inside him at a young age. I have a lot of remorse. I'm very sorry for them. It's something I wouldn't want to happen to my family. Oh, really? He told KAKETV the interview was conducted Saturday. Some of it was aired Wednesday night with additional portions to air Thursday. Rader, who pleaded guilty last week to 10 first-degree murders in the Wichita area from 1974 to 1991, nicknamed himself BTK for bind, torture, and kill as he taunted media and police with cryptic messages about the crimes. He faces sentencing August 17th. I just know it's the dark side of me. It kind of controls me. I personally think it is, and I know it is not a very Christian, but I actually think it's a demon that's within me. At some point in time, it entered me when I was very young, said Rader, who was once president of his Lutheran church. Rader, age 60, said his problems began in grade school with sexual fantasies that were just a little bit weirder than other people's, whatever that means. Somewhere along the line, someone had to pick up something from me somewhere that was a problem, he said. That should have identified it. Oh, so it's someone else's fault for not figuring it out. Maybe the public school system needs a demon detector nowadays. Well, at any rate, not going to read much more about Dennis Rader's story. If there is to be a death penalty, it sure seems like somebody like that should get it, don't you think? Especially after he's confessed to all these sorts of brutal slayings, very disgusting kinds of thing. Well, anyway, I wanted to talk to you folks today about the Iraqi Bill of Rights. I'm going to jump in and do that now, but we need to remind folks about our phone numbers. 864-244-8177, 864-244-8177, if you want to be on the show today. And we'll be talking about things that are relating, once again, to George Bush's policies. George Bush's policies in the Middle East, and what his plans to do in the Middle East entail. Now, you remember that as far as George Bush is concerned, Condoleezza Rice and other people who have been working in the Bush administration, the entire reason we went to Iraq as Americans is to spread democracy, destroy weapons of mass destruction, and to simply help the Iraqi people get a democratic system of government like people enjoy in the West. That's the idea, right? We're there to help spread democracy around the world. How many of us remember hearing those kinds of things? Hopefully all of us do. Well, here's a draft of the Iraqi Bill of Rights. This was sent to me by Williamson Everson of the Stanford University's Hoover Institution. And it's not a final, it's in its final form, but it is a pretty significant draft that looks like it's, you know, pretty close to being finished, apparently. The first article of the Iraqi Bill of Rights deals simply with Iraqi nationality, trying to give some extra rights to women more than other nations around them have, and who exactly would become an Iraqi citizen and deserve to have the benefits and blessings of all these things in the Bill of Rights. Won't read all the details of that, but basically it says you can be a dual citizen, Iraqi and elsewhere. If you've been deprived under Saddam of anything, you can have it back as far as your citizenship goes. And basically women, they can be treated like a first-class citizen for the most part. The second article, it basically is a generalist statement. It says all Iraqis are equal before the law without regard to gender, opinion, belief, nationality, religion, or origin. Discrimination on the basis of gender, nationality, religion, or origin, or social standing is forbidden. They have the right to personal security and life and in freedom except in accordance with the law. Equality of opportunity is guaranteed to all citizens in accordance with the law. All right. And then we start Article 3 and 4 and 5. And really, Article 5 is where we have the biggest problem. Article 4 just deals with Iraqi residents having similar rights as Iraqi citizens. That's just people visiting from foreign countries who are not citizens are going to be protected. And basically, Article 3 says we're going to all have equal standing before the law, all Iraqis and others, in general. Okay, so it's a very general article. Now listen to some of what Article 5 has to say. Article 5, number 1, this is a very long article compared to the others. People are equal in their humanity and human dignity. Their humanity is protected and honored. Social justice, that's a buzzword, by the way, jargon, and read that as Marxism, socialism, that's the kind of thing social justice is all about, but we'll read on, is the basis of building the society. The Iraqi people are one people unified by belief and the unity of the homeland and culture. Anything that exposes this unity to danger is forbidden. Now just think about that statement alone. Government gets to determine that something might be exposing the unity expressed here, and all of a sudden you become illegal. Whatever the thing is that causes this thing to be exposed to disunity or to break up the Iraqi goals in the Bill of Rights here. This gives a huge amount of power to government. Article 5, Section 2 says, justice is the basis of governance. Cooperation and compassion form the bond of trust among citizens. Freedom, equality, security, peacefulness, and social solidarity are guaranteed to all citizens before the law. Well, that's quite a list there. Freedom is guaranteed. Equality is guaranteed. Equality, that's going to require somebody to pay something. Security is guaranteed. Peacefulness is guaranteed. And social solidarity. The family, paragraph 3 says, the family is the basic nucleus of society. It is composed by religion, science, morals, and patriotism. The law protects its rightful sacred nature and strengthens its bonds and values. The state must guarantee its defense and support of it, protect motherhood and childhood, spread support and implant moral values and the culture of tolerance, guard youth and protect it from exploitation from other forms of moral, bodily, and spiritual neglect. The state shall take special concern with the physical, moral, mental, and cultural development of young people. The state shall take responsibility for combating moral and behavioral depravity and encourage people and agencies to spread virtue, providing help and support. So the state is truly the arm of proactive policy here, folks, with the Iraqi Bill of Rights. Section 4 of Article 5. The state shall ensure harmony between the duties of women toward her family, her work, and the society and equality with men in the fields of political, social, and economic life without conflicting or disturbing with the provision of the Islamic Sharia. So even Islam is codified in here. Section 5, the state shall guarantee for women the appropriate services rendered to pregnancy, childbirth, and the period after childbirth, and provide her free health services as well as adequate nutrition while she is pregnant and nursing. Folks, you should be listening to this and just aghast as of the socialism, the blatant, bald-faced Marxism that's included in this thing. It's just appalling. We're going to continue to read more of this, but it's time to go to our first break, so we're going to do so. Remember, if you want to call the show this morning, it's 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also reach us, 864-201-6955. Look forward to hearing your calls and hearing from you when we get back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And here's Section 6 of Article 5 of the Iraqi Bill of Rights. We have the introduction of a system of maternity leave paid for. These are rights, by the way. Can you imagine this? This is kind of like our Bill of Rights that we would have here, you know, that protect you from unreasonable search and seizure, protect your rights to property, double jeopardy, you know, these kinds of things. We might read our Bill of Rights in a little while, just as a compare and contrast sort of thing. Well, here it says here in Section 6, the introduction of a system of maternity leave paid for with equivalent benefits without a woman losing her position, seniority, or bonuses. Section 7, the state shall guarantee the realization of social and health insurance for the child from his birth until he completes university studies. So you have total socialized medicine, not only for women that are pregnant, but for all kids from birth until university studies are done. All provided for by the state, that is the taxpayer. Issuing of strict binding laws against using children and minors in vulgar trades or those that are dishonorable or unsuitable for children. Issuing of laws requiring education and considering it one of the means of security and protection. 9. The state shall guarantee the realization of the social guarantee necessary for citizens in case of old age, disease, inability to work, or if they are homeless, orphans, widowed, or unemployed. It shall provide them social insurance services and health care and protect them from the talons of ignorance, fear, and want, providing for them with with housing and special programs to train and them and care for them. A law shall be issued regarding this. This is amazing. You want to talk about the nanny state. This is a cradle-to-grave program that would make Marx just smile with glee, jump for joy, and Lenin and all the other communists. The state shall support, in accordance with law, the families of martyrs, guaranteeing the legitimate rights taken by the fallen regime. The state shall support the victims and regime and terrorism and their families and protect their rights in accordance with law. Article 6 says, the state shall guard science, literature, and the arts and encourage scientific research. You can read it by saying encourage. You're going to write laws that favor it, and they're going to give money to it. It shall provide educational and cultural services to citizens. So in other words, it's going to have public schooling and museums and things like that. Primary education shall be mandatory. The state and regional government shall combat illiteracy and provide their citizens with a right to free education at the various stages. Doesn't that sound like the Communist Manifesto? The freedom of culture in the second paragraph, Article 6, and scientific research are guaranteed, and the state and regional government shall encourage, reward, and foster excellence, creativity, and invention in the various forms of talent. Freedom of opinion, third paragraph said, expression, publishing, printing, and press, and the media, and peaceful demonstration, founding political parties, blah, 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 are all guaranteed. No censorship of newspapers, printing, publishing, advertising, or media except by law. And what does that except by law mean? Anybody that doesn't agree with the socialist constitution, no doubt. The secrecy, fifth point, postal, electronic, telegraphic, and telephonic messages is guaranteed. And it's not permitted to inspect them except for legal necessity and protection of security in accordance with law. Can you only imagine? Patriot Act gone wild here. They're going to actually be able to intercept and do anything they want just by passing a law. Otherwise, it's protected, which means that anybody they don't like is going to be able to be under surveillance. Iraqi citizens in Article 7 say they have the right to enjoy security and free health care. So now the free healthcare thing is not just for pregnant women, it's not just for kids, it's for any Iraqi citizen. They have the right to enjoy security and free healthcare. So security from what? I guess job security, wage security, all sorts of security, I suppose, and the government is going to provide it for them. The Iraqi federal government and regional governments must provide it and expand the fields of prevention, treatment, medication, and construction of various hospitals and health institutions. So the government's going to run hospitals as well. Article 8 says, Iraqis have the complete and unconditional right of ownership in all areas of Iraq without limitation. Citizens may not be forbidden in Article 9 from traveling outside the country or returning to it, nor may be limited in their movement inside a country except in cases defined by law. Article 10 says, the Iraqi citizen has a right of freedom of thought, conscience, religious creed, and religious rights. Number 2 is, the Iraqi citizen enjoys the right of protection against intellectual, political, sectarian, religious, and national coercion so long as this protection is by law. Article 11 says, the right of political asylum is granted to all oppressed. So if you're oppressed, run to Iraq. That's where you want to be. Apparently you get all this free good stuff and you can just lounge around and enjoy your life as a welfare cadet. It's forbidden to surrender a political refugee. It's forbidden to grant right of refuge, humanitarian or political, to someone accused of international crimes. Article 12 says, work is a right for every Iraqi citizen and a duty for him. The state and the governments of the regions shall strive. The government of the regions. I thought you said the region of the Middle East. I was thinking, how in the world can he bind by a constitution of other countries? But anyway, the state and the governments of the regions shall strive to protect or provide work opportunities for every able-bodied citizen. So government now has to employ people as well. The state is responsible in paragraph 2 of Article 12 to support the provision of the work opportunities for all qualified and pay monthly salaries for all unemployed for any reason until opportunities are provided in the case of disability, handicap, or illness until the malady ceases. Paragraph 3 says, the state provides for working conditions and raising the standard of living and expertise of all working citizens. No one, in paragraph 4, may be required to undertake specific tasks unless that task has a public benefit in accordance with law or in the case of staving off a sudden public danger. Fifthly, compulsory service or corvée, slavery, the slave trade, forced labor, any work that is imposed on the Iraqi citizen not in accordance with the provisions of the Constitution or the law are forbidden. So in other words, they can still have it, it just has to be in accordance with law. Citizens are equal in assuming public positions in accordance with the conditions established by law. Article 13, public and private freedoms are protected and provided they do not conflict with moral values and public decency. So I guess you have a public decency board as well. Citizens' rights to private lives are protected in Article 13. Citizens may enjoy it in compliance with moral values and decency. So I guess you're going to have a big bureau of moral values and decency that's going to decide whether or not you're in compliance. No citizen has a right to deviancy in the use of his right to exercise any of his rights, whatever that means. Article 14, Iraqi citizens enjoy freedom that belong to associations and the right to development of the to develop the institutions of civil society even by cooperation with international civil society organizations. The federal, regional, provincial, and municipal governments and local authorities may not prevent this so long as exercised with accordance of law. So Greenpeace and the Sierra Club can go to Iraq now if they want to. Wish they'd all go over there, actually. I hate to see people get beheaded, but, you know, hey, if somebody's got to lose their head, might as well be people on the left that are destroying the country, right? Oh, did I just say that? Oh, well, I guess it's a little bit over the line. We'll read some more of this stuff, perhaps, in a bit, and make a few comments. There's just so much to read here. It's unbelievable what this Iraqi Bill of Rights has to say, is it not? Can you imagine George W. Bush, the great freedom warrior who goes to Iraq to liberate the people and bring democracy to the land, is actually a closet socialist, a Marxist. Apparently he likes this kind of stuff and is willing to support it. He's willing to fight for the liberation of these people so they can be enslaved to the state under a Marxist-type regime. This is pure Marxism, not just public education and free medical care, but all of the inherent rights to work, the rights to security, and the other things mentioned in this document are 100% out of the Communist Manifesto and worse. They're the Soviet Union warmed over with a few free provisions like you can't have a Berlin Wall. And yeah, maybe we'll let you talk a little bit more. I mean, otherwise it's the same thing that's going to bring poverty, war, misery, and grief, environmental degradation, and the destruction of private property. That's what's going to happen in Iraq because they have this kind of so-called Bill of Rights and proactive policy. It's disgusting. It's revolting. Christians should be up in arms against it, and they should realize what George W. Bush is all about, and he and his Condoleezza Rice and so forth. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for us to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And I'll tell you what, if we could only hurl with even greater force something as bogus as this Iraqi Bill of Rights. Article 15 says that personal freedom is guaranteed in accordance with the law. Section 2 says, nobody may be arrested, detained, held, searched, placed under house arrest, or have his freedom of residence or movement restricted except in accordance with law and under judicial supervision. So in other words, they can do all those things to you as long as they pass some law that says they can, and the judge sort of oversees it. Boy, that's a real chain binding the government, isn't it? You notice that this does not bind government. This, our Bill of Rights bound the federal government. It restricted them from what they could do to us. This Bill of Rights is actually a declaration that's how citizens can make use of a proactive state. It's totally different in its form. They're just telling you all the things that government can do to you. Sure, there are a few limits on what the government will do, maybe, but all they have to do is pass a law and they can get around anything that's written in these Bill of Rights. That's all it takes. Some dictator can get up, or anyone else, elected or otherwise, and make some rule, and that's it. Nobody shall be exposed to physical and moral torture, entrapment, or treatment offensive to dignity. Section 4 says a person may not be detained or held except in a place designated for that purpose for laws and or prisons. So, okay. The place of detention must include health and social care and be under judicial supervision. Section 5, punishment is personal, and there is no crime or punishment except in accordance with law. Punishment may only occur for deeds committed after the law stipulating it becomes operative. An accused is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law that grants him necessary guarantees to engage in the right of defense in all phases of investigation. Paragraph 7, it's forbidden to injure an accused physically or morally. Oh, interesting, so you can't torture people. Anyone accused of a felony must have an attorney, and he has accepted defending him. The right of litigation is guaranteed in accordance with law. The freedom of houses is guaranteed that they may not be entered or searched except for according to law. So a few things similar to our Bill of Rights, but totally different perspective. Article 16, because it's a government perspective, it's not binding government, it's liberating government to do all sorts of things. There's no tax or fee except by law. The law exempting those with low incomes from taxes in such a way as not to infringe on the minimum need for subsistence. Article 17, public funds are sacrosanct, and their protection is a duty for every citizen. All natural resources and the resulting revenues are owned by the people. Really? So if you have gold under your property or oil or other things, guess who owns it, folks? Not you. That's owned collectively by the people. The state shall preserve them and invest them well. Okay, sorry for laughing, folks. The state is now the investor in public and natural resources that care for all of them. Yeah, just look how great a job they did in the Soviet Union, dilapidating things. Third paragraph of Article 17, the state shall strive to provide housing for those citizens with limited incomes, either by constructing free and appropriate houses or housing blocks, or by giving them grants and loans to build their private housing, granting priorities in accordance with need. Okay, so now you get free housing from the government in Iraq. The state shall take the necessary measures to realize the exploitation of land suitable for agriculture, stop desertification, that means making things deserts, right, and work to raise the level of this is a typo, and raise the level of he peasant, or of the peasant, and help farmers and their land ownership in accordance with law. The state shall take the necessary measures to preserve the environment and protect it from pollution and preserve the environmental order, considering it among its priorities. It shall issue strict laws and impose financial penalties on those who violate it. So, in effect, we have also environmental protection undertaken by the government. Again, look at the Soviet Union or Poland just to see how wonderful that's turned out. Article 18, the basis of national economy is social justice, it says. It's composed of cooperating between public and private activity. Its goal is economic growth in accordance with the decreed plan and realization of prosperity for its citizen. This shall all occur within the boundaries of law. The state shall bear the responsibility for growth, developing production and services, building a solid infrastructure for the economy. the country in providing services. The competent authorities shall strive to encourage tourism and develop tourist institutions. So now the government is also involved with providing tourist institutions. The state shall take the necessary measures to preserve Iraqi heritage and archaeological sites. It shall issue strict laws to whoever abuses our civilizational heritage. Good grief. Then it has Article 19 on tribes, which is completely left blank at the moment. Article 20, any Iraqi who meets the conditions stipulated in the elections law may nominate himself and vote. Okay. And then he's talking about, yeah, this is voting. It also preserves here a proportion of 25% of the share of representation for women in the seats of the parliament. So it doesn't matter if you're qualified or not. If you're a female, you will be guaranteed at least 20. Well, females will be guaranteed at least 25% on the Iraqi parliament. Stupid. That's just typical socialist blather, or at least politically correct blather. Article 21 and 22, 23. The Constitution guarantees compensation to any Iraqi citizen if any official in the Iraqi government harms him by depriving his citizen of their rights. Okay, so in other words, they mess with you, you get paid for it, possibly. Article 22, in addition to the rights stipulated in this Constitution, Iraqi citizens enjoy the rights stipulated in international treaties and agreements and international legal documents that Iraq has signed. And 23, Iraqi citizens are, this is on duties, responsible for defending the homeland and preserving its unity. Okay, so now you're going to be conscripted, probably. Paying taxes and fiscal fees are a duty of all Iraqi citizens, being provided that there are no taxes, levy, duties, fees imposed except by law. Citizens may not own, buy, or sell weapons except by permit issued with the law. There's a Bill of Rights for you, like the Second Amendment. You can't have a weapon there unless somebody decides to give you a permit in Iraq. Sounds wonderful. Preserving national unity, protecting the state secrets, and defending and supporting the Constitution are duties of every Iraqi citizen. All right, that's the Iraqi Bill of Rights, folks. We've come up to the top of the hour here. Time to go to another break, but right before I do, I want to remind you our phone number is 864-244-8177, and you can also try our backup line, 864-201-6955. We should have lots of people willing to talk about this Iraqi Constitution. What a total disaster for liberty. George W. Bush, you Christians who gullibly voted for this guy, is over there expanding democracy. And what that means to Bush is he wants to instill Marxism in the purest form in terms of social justice over there. Social structures based on a socialist idea. The whole thing is a farce, folks. George W. Bush is not the vicar of truth. He's not doing the right thing anywhere, and especially not in Iraq. And you've just lost lives and spent a whole bunch of money to help a bunch of people become socialists in Iraq. Isn't that wonderful? You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. There? Like fire, it is a dangerous servant. Here. And a fearful
what if somebody
master.
Calls or something?
President George Washington.
Well, how are you going to hear it?
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems.
PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Glad you've joined us. Glad that Greenville is finally hearing us once again. And that's something to rejoice about here on the Tyranny Response Network, Christian Worldview. Been a long time coming, but it's been worth the wait. And even though it's not perfect still, we're hoping to raise enough funds this month in order to complete that project there and elsewhere here in the upstate. Currently, Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport, 67 degrees. Downtown Greenville, the same. Anderson, 68. Clemson, at 67. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the lower 90s. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour, so it should be a great day as you're making your way out to work. It should be actually hot. You'd be glad you're inside your cubicle working, if you're like me, anyway. Just don't like the heat. Well, here's a quick note from Great Britain, since we were talking about the Iraqi Constitution, or the Bill of Rights of Iraq, and we will be going back to that subject in just a second. But this article was sent over, and I thought it was of great interest. When kitchen knives are outlawed, this comes from Internal Medicine News, July 1st of 2005. Only outlaws will have kitchen knives. As Americans, we hold the parochial view that the only lethal weapon to be found in most homes is the gun. Not so on the other side of the pond, where violent crime is on the rise despite tight gun control. These household blades account for at least half of all stabbings there, according to a report by three emergency department physicians who authorized an editorial in a recent issue of the British Medical Journal. They called for a government-imposed ban on the sale of kitchen knives, or at the very least for their redesign. Most kitchen knives are shaped like daggers, and given their ubiquitousness, come easily into hand when someone impulsively reaches for the nearest weapon. However, the kitchen knife's long, tapering point serves no useful purpose, according to 10 London chefs international interviewed by the authors. Kitchen knives could have blunter, rounded ends like bread knives and still be useful to cooks without also having a lethal potential. Or really, could you just slice somebody's throat with it still? The basic design of the knife has not changed significantly since its first known appearance in the historic record between 3000 and 700 BC, when modern carving knives' ancestors were made of copper and bronze. Let the ban proposers beware. The website of the National Rifle Association carries a story about the move to outlaw kitchen knives in the United Kingdom. Can lobbying by Charlton Heston and documentary by Michael Moore be far behind? What a bunch of idiocy there in Great Britain. Not surprised, of course, that this sort of thing goes on, but because they already have guns outlawed, but that's the way things, I guess, just the way things are there. I guess I got to do a couple of quick ads here. We have not done the Times Examiner ad for a while. Remember, the Times Examiner is a conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including yours truly, Dr. John Coben, and other upstate favorites like Ben Graydon and Stephen Yates, as well as many national columnists, syndicated columnists like Walter Williams, who has an excellent article the current edition, Thomas Sowell, Marvin Alasky, and others. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, and private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576, and get your subscription today. Also, if you need to place an ad and promote your business, please do so in the Times Examiner. They can certainly welcome your support. Give David a call at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Specifically ask for him, David, and he should be able to help you with that goal. And you'll be glad that you advertised there. Also want to advise you that on the tyrannyresponse.com website, we have our calendar of events. The only event this week is the picnic of the Americans for Constitutional Government. It will be going on this Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock. You can meet at White Oak. I think it's called White Oak Baptist Church, across from Bob Jones University, and then they'll begin to convoy up to North Carolina. If you can attend that, great. Meet over there at 10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow and do so. Also, the Institute on the Constitution final meeting, where they'll actually hand out diplomas, and they're expecting you all to come dressed, well-dressed in your suits and dresses for pictures from the press. We're going to have somebody coming down from Michael Perutka's office, I guess, to hand out our diplomas. But we'll be there for that meeting on Monday the 11th. It'll be the final meeting, 6:30 p.m. Remember, that's at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Even if it's the first meeting you've ever gone to over there, it's still worth doing as we talk about ways in which we might redeem the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in our American way of life here. It's so important to do so. In fact, we're in such jeopardy from all these different forces outside that we started a petition here in South Carolina called the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, Save Your Private Property. And you can go and sign this petition in about 45 seconds if you simply go to tyrannyresponse.com and scroll down to under the related media tab to the petition section and click on that that petition for South Carolina Fundamental Rights, and you'll be able to sign that thing in short order. There's also one up for Texas, Florida, and California, and Pennsylvania, in addition to South Carolina. We're hoping other states will come up shortly. Currently, there have been 122 signatures from folks here in South Carolina, and we're very glad that that's the case. Glad that the last 10 signatures have actually been libertarians. Well, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the last 8 signatures, the libertarians have come in force, and all of a sudden, they are they're signing the petition as well. Well, actually, we had some libertarians early on. In fact, the first signer, me, as a pro-life libertarian. Besides that, we've had Constitutional Party, we've had a lot of Republicans, and we've even had some Democrats signing the petition. Anyway, hope you can go to tyrannyresponse.com. Just take 30 seconds of your day this morning. Remember that website. Scroll down under the tab called Related Media, and under Related Media, you will find there the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. I want to come back and talk and summarize this Iraqi petition or Iraqi Bill of Rights, but we're overdue for a break. So we're going to run to a break right now, and we thank you for listening to Christian Worldview. Remember to call in numbers 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview, where we're hurling with great force today. George W. Bush, his administration, promoting democracy around the world, and abridging different rights. Talk about abridging rights. He doesn't even abridge rights. This guy is actually promoting communism through his plan of spreading democracy around the world. Why do I say that? Well, I've been reading all show here the Iraqi Bill of Rights just to show exactly what's going on around the world. Now, obviously, the Iraqi people that they put in power, the puppet government over there, is coming up with these ideas that they're drafting. But George W. Bush and his administration is obviously very favorable of these things. He thinks it's wonderful that we're installing this kind of constitution over there, and this kind of Bill of Rights. Evidently. Otherwise, he might complain. We never hear a word about it. To the contrary, do we? Or that he's concerned about certain socialism that's over there. Well, listen to... this is just a summary of some of the things that are contained in this Iraqi Bill of Rights. And if you may be joining us a little bit late, we read these verbatim right out of the text here, so it was clear to everyone to see. This Iraqi Bill of Rights is designed to promote social justice, a buzzword jargon that's simply used to mean they want to have socialism. It's going to promote socialized medicine, especially for maternity, pregnancy, for kids and through college age, and actually it says later on for everybody. I don't even know why they have a subset of the others then. It's going to promote public education and literacy. It's going to guarantee employment. It's going to provide welfare for those who can't work. It's going to provide for the abridgment of rights, much like the Patriot Act, anytime there is a law that can be passed to overturn anything that's inside this Bill of Rights. It's going to give rights to housing. It's going to promote feminist ideals. It's going to have gun restrictions through permit process and owning any kinds of arms, for that matter. It's going to support the arts and science. through taxpayer money. It's going to have common ownership of natural resources, so you can figure out about owning your own land. Of course, that's the same here in America, in many places. It's going to have the state promoting virtue and morals. Whatever the state determines to be virtuous and moral, it's going to promote. And again, all freedoms can be abridged at any time if they just pass a law. That's what the Iraqi Bill of Rights is all about. And I want you to listen to our Bill of Rights a little bit and see if you can see the difference. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a hint. What's the difference between our Bill of Rights and theirs is simply this, that our Bill of Rights is a restriction upon the state and what it can do. It binds the state. The Iraqi Bill of Rights expands the power in an unlimited form of the state in a proactive manner to control every area of a person's life from cradle to grave. It's a Marxist panacea. It's a cure-all for social problems by taxing and spending and giving control to the state over your lives. Well, here's the American Bill of Rights, in case you haven't read them lately. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or promoting or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary for the state, security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Article 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Article 5. No person shall be held to answer for any capital otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for any time or for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Article 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed by the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of the trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Article 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Article 9. The enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Article 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. That's the Bill of Rights, folks. That was the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, and that is a whole lot different than what we find under Saddam or under the Iraqi democracy that's being set forth now to empower the state to have all sorts of socialist agendas to put forward an idea of environmental preservation that would make everybody in Greenpeace as happy as a clam, to promote feminism, to promote what they consider to be virtue, to promote welfare and wealth redistribution, to promote high taxes and gun restrictions, to promote all sorts of government activities into the economy, including promoting the promotion of sciences and the arts, whatever that means. This is pure socialism, folks, that's going on in Iraq. George Bush, when he says he's spreading democracy, has done nothing more than spread Marxism. He's done nothing more but bring this country to a case in which it's going to have war, suffering, misery, chaos, environmental degradation, the loss of private property, just as under all other totalitarian and socialist regimes. Natural resources will be owned by the states. People will be owned by the state. Public education will guarantee that Iraqis turn into good statists, and indeed, liberty will be completely abolished in that country at the hand of the victor, George Bush. You think he's a Republican spreading democracy over there? Yeah? Well, what does that mean to him, that he spreads democracy? It means that he's spreading Marxism, folks. It's plain and simple. How else would this Bill of Rights be able to be passed as it is if he were really there trying to stop oppression in that land? Because he's got it backwards. He thinks that capitalism is oppression. He thinks that freedom is oppression. You think I'm kidding you? Look at the Patriot Act. That's what George Bush is all about. And this is what the Iraqi Bill of Rights is all about. Well, here we are, 8:25 in the morning. We have our phone number to give you, 864-244-8177. You can also try 864-201-6955. Either one of those should work. Before we go to the next break, I want to find out if we have an email from our listener here. In fact, I know we do somewhere. Oh, that just Iraqi thing just really irritates me, I ought to say. That's really, really a bad deal. This is from Charles, a listener. He says, John, this is an email that was written in. Is it possible that some government is doing the bombings in London? Problem, reaction, solution. Let's say I want to have supreme control, but the population isn't buying my dream, so I hire some mercs or mercenaries who terrorize my country. The people are now freaked out and scared, and I offer them safety if they give me supreme control and they give up their rights, like the Patriot Act. I would like to know who stands to gain from terrorist attacks. And he says, big government does. Of course, the people don't want war, says Hermann Göring in the Nuremberg trials. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy, a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament, or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought into the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to greater danger. Joseph Stalin said, the easiest way to gain control of the population is to carry out acts of terror. The public will clamor for such laws if personal security is threatened. And then he says, Charles says, I asked a fellow in my church, an older guy and seminary student at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary of Wake Forest, North Carolina, if he would give up his rights for safety, and he said yes. I could not believe my ears. How could it be that a young educated punk like myself could understand that giving up freedom was only giving into slavery, and there was no security in that, just as Ben Franklin had said. John, I really think the terrorist actions are state-sponsored, and the population is ripe for picking. I think he's talking about 9/11 now. Government is a parasite that continues to grow and eat away our lives, and it is sometimes a deadly parasite. I think they are doing the terrorist attacks, and they have an agenda. These neocons, or former Trotskyites, want total control of the population, new American century. I do not intend to sound crazy, and I'm sure it does sound very weird, but I think with careful study, most people will come to see the same which I have found. I'm 24 years old and wish I could tell you how many times people from my church have talked bad about me because I do not think Bush is a Christian, and because I see something entirely evil going on in our government. It is as if my church is spouting off statism. I surely hope the church is not following some type of statism, whether fascism or communism. I can't help but see that it is. At least with the Southern Baptists, they are worshiping Bush, even in my church. Sincerely in Christ, Charles. And, well, we appreciate Charles, a new listener, who comes up with these comments. Actually, Charles, as far as Bush's character, I think you're absolutely right. He's not only not a Christian, he's spreading things that are antithetical to Christianity, against the gospel, opposed to promoting the kingdom of God, in every way is a vile traitor to this nation. And I've said that all along. I told people before he was elected, it's a sin if you vote for him, and I was chided for it by the neocons. People like, again, on Tony Beam's show, which I call the Festival of Ignorance, he chided me for and supported George W. Bush instead. And this is wrong. It was sad that he did such a thing, but now we have the bungler in office, and indeed we have this kind of tyranny. Now, did the government do actually the bombings in London or in New York City? Well, many of us, or many people, I should say, listen to the Tyranny Response Network, certainly believe that he did. I'm very intrigued by the thought, because I know the biggest beneficiary has indeed been the government in all these cases. I don't know if it was an inside job. I don't have enough evidence to prove that. But I'll tell you what, when I hear the evidence presented, it does tend to sway me at least a little bit that there could have been some inside activity here in causing it. Government has been the biggest perpetrator of evil in the history of the world. Why wouldn't they inflict it on their own people? It's not any surprise to me if that's indeed the facts of the matter. So I appreciate the email. I wish I could give you a more definitive answer, except I will agree with you, Charles. No question in my mind, government, like the fellow said, the Nuremberg trial or Stalin, they need acts of terrorism, things to threaten security in order to pull people more towards the side of violating or giving up their rights to the state. So great comments, and appreciate your writing into the show, and hope to hear from you again soon. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. And I want to give you the phone numbers, 864-244-8177, or the backup line, 864-201-6955. Or if you're like Charles, you want to send an email, you can always do so. Send it to questions@policyofliberty.net. And one quick announcement before the break. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you don't have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin off Woodruff Road, across from the Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, currently in Greenville, Spartanburg Airport, 66 degrees, downtown Greenville, which is hearing us for the first time after many weeks. Glad you're back. 67 degrees, Anderson 68 degrees, Clemson 67 degrees, and big plans for expansion of our broadcast to those areas too coming up shortly, we hope. Partly cloudy today with highs in the lower 90s, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Well, I'm having a hard time reading this morning, it seems, folks. By all means, enjoy your cubicle as it's nice and warm outside. That's a whole lot better than having the leftovers of tropical storms hitting us. I wonder if this tropical storm Dennis is going to affect us. Last time I heard, it was not. It was going to stay over towards Tennessee. But at any rate, interesting weather patterns the last couple of days. I want to remind folks to go to the tyrannyresponse.com website. Check out tyrannyresponse.com. We've got all the events of the upstate for political meetings and other important meetings pertaining to public policy, the Christian worldview. They're all there on the events section. If you have an event that we need to know about, be sure to go to the contacts information or section of the webpage, tyrannyresponse.net, and email the production staff about the webpage event, or about the event you have, and he will put it on the website. We know there's some creationist issues going on, or people promoting other things pertaining to the Christian worldview that we may not know about. And if you can, be sure to let us know by sending an email. Under the tab entitled Related Media, you'll also find there petitions such as the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. We hope that you'll all take a stop there today at tyrannyresponse.com under this Related Media tab and go sign this petition. It'll take you less than 30 seconds to do it. And the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition is of great importance. Let me read to you what it says. We talked about this Iraqi Bill of Rights earlier in the show. We read our entire Bill of Rights. We know the Iraqi Bill of Rights is totally Marxist, totally socialist. Couldn't make Marx any happier than to have what was written there, I would imagine. Or at least he's going to be happy, at say the least. Maybe he could be happier. But he's happy about what he sees there, that's for sure, if he weren't in hell right now. Anyway, this petition is to the South Carolina legislature. Listen to what it says, and then go and sign the thing. We need to have popular support from all political parties so that we can have in South Carolina a petition for the redress of grievances and protect our private property and other rights. Here's what the petition says. We, the people of South Carolina, petition the South Carolina legislature to approve and declare the following proposed amendment to the South Carolina Constitution, whereby the inalienable nature of our rights will be plainly decreed as unalterable, irreversible. Be it resolved that we, the people of South Carolina, hereby declare and affirm that the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Fifth Amendment Bill of Rights to the Constitution are fundamental rights which were derived antecedent to the existence of the state, as manifest in both the United States federal government and the state of South Carolina. As such, the state does not grant rights to life, liberty, or property. On the contrary, the primary reason that government is formed is to protect rights to life, liberty, and property, and no South Carolinian or American holds his fundamental rights at the pleasure of the state. Furthermore, we the people of South Carolina declare and affirm in particular that all human beings are equal sharers in the right to life, and that the state may not abridge the right to life for any particular human being or class of human beings without due process of law and subsequent conviction of a capital offense. All human beings are equal sharers in the right to liberty, and that the state may not forcibly enslave, conscript, or incarcerate a human being without due process of law and subsequent conviction of a crime. And finally, all human beings are equal sharers in the right to hold and enjoy property, so long as their pursuit of happiness does not infringe upon the rights of other human beings, and the state may not take private property without due process of law, or take it for public use without just compensation. Such public uses include highways, dams, bridges, government office buildings, military installations, and similar public projects. Other uses, such as increasing local tax revenues, as was the case in Kello, versus the City of New London, clearing urban blight, removing church buildings, promoting urban development, and similar proactive public interest or public welfare schemes are not contemplated in the phrase for public use. The phrase just compensation refers to market value based on comparable properties and would not preclude the government from paying relocation expenses. With steadfast determination, sincerely, the undersigned citizens of South Carolina. Go ahead and sign that petition, folks. There's 124 people so far that have signed it, and they're from all different parties. So we're talking about Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, as well as the mainline Republican Party, and even Democrats have signed it. And because, believe it or not, some Democrats really do like liberty, I guess. Why are they still voting Democratic? I don't know, but I'd say the same thing about Republicans. How can you vote for a Republican and watching what scoundrels like George Bush are doing in Iraq? It's just appalling. So anyway, go make your way to the tyrannyresponse.com website, scroll down to the section of links under related media, and go and sign this particular petition for the South Carolina Fundamental Rights. If you have friends in Pennsylvania, Texas, California, or Florida, they have the same petition up in their states. We're looking for other people to sponsor it elsewhere in different states, so send them there along as well. We also have petitions online here where you can petition Congress of the United States to abolish the Federal Reserve of the United Nations, abolish the income tax, a citizen petition to reverse Roe versus Wade, and a petition to end United Nations tyranny inside the United States. Go sign those while you're there if you can donate 30 seconds more to each one of them. You'll be glad that you did, and help be active in the political process today and make a change in your world. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come up to another quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Actually, we found devils in the form of men to govern us now with George W. Bush at the helm. Can you imagine that? The man spreading Marxism all over the globe. First hour of the show was devoted to the Iraqi Bill of Rights, this draft of the Bill of Rights that came through out through the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, just letting people know where the general direction where they're heading, and they have a lot of specifics already nailed down, including social justice and promoting what they consider to be virtue and morals, feminism, gun restrictions, welfare, abridgment of all sorts of rights, guaranteed employment, public education, and guaranteed housing, promotion of sciences and arts, a lot of other socialism, plain and simple, right there in Iraq. That's what kind of democracy George Bush has been spreading there. Well, here's Carl Warden writing on saying, "Bring it on. Remember that infamous Bushism? Well, the Iraqi resistance brought it on, and it was blamed for a spike in American casualties. Here of late, we've heard the Prez say, if we don't fight the terrorists in Iraq and Afghanistan, we'll have to fight them here. I've heard a number of other not so deep thinkers repeat that same absurdity, but I can't imagine what they are thinking. We fought the Japanese Army, Navy, and Air Force island to island, so we wouldn't have to fight them on American soil. We fought Germans in Europe, so we wouldn't have to fight them here as well. But to make such a statement about guerrilla military terrorist forces to invite a reaction, and today's multiple bomb attacks in Londoners during the peak of morning rush hour traffic was predictable. Frankly, I'm surprised we didn't have a massive terrorist strike somewhere here in America, and that's probably next. It never ceases to amaze me just how stupid this president is. Then again, it never ceases to amaze me how stupid so many Americans are to repeat an absurdity that it suggests that all of Al-Qaeda is in Iraq and Afghanistan. If we just stay on course in the war in both nations, the terrorists won't be able to get out and attack the USA or our allies. I'm sure when terrorists heard that little boo-boo, they said, oh yeah, watch this. The last report I saw indicated about 40 deaths and climbing, along with around 700 wounded by a guerrilla force that somehow found the time and opportunity to prove Bush and Rumsfeld wrong. What is terribly unfortunate is that too many people have shown the error of their thinking by harsh example like this. We all know that Al-Qaeda is not largely supported by the general population of Great Britain, so the Brits might have a chance against them, but try to remember the Brits were unable to defeat the IRA and finally resorted to a negotiated peace and a ceasefire that included allowing the IRA to remain armed. That doesn't sound like a victory to me. Our own guerrilla force, under the wise keeping of George Washington, defeated the British military and sent them limping back to England. And no matter how you want to look at the war in Iraq, the truth is that our armed forces are fighting a guerrilla force that is largely supported by the general population. And because we keep killing non-combatant citizens in Iraq almost daily, that guerrilla force is growing and getting even more popular. There's one major difference that just revealed itself today, and this time the guerrilla force has brought the war to the home of the invader. And when we see this London bombing. Anyway, so this is an interesting article that he's bringing up some of the points we have before, echoing the sentiment that George W. Bush is not being successful as far as the ideals of liberty are concerned in Iraq. Instead, George W. Bush is getting more powerful. He's getting more power for himself, more money for his cronies and friends in the oil industry or anywhere else, and George W. Bush is continuing to mess with the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, the millions of people in Iraq. They're going to be thrust into a communist, effectively a communist or socialist state over there with all these ridiculous provisions in this Bill of Rights. So it is a sad state of affairs, to say the least, in Iraq and with George W. Bush. Here's Chuck Baldwin saying, I share Jefferson's intuition of designed abuses. In his column today, Chuck Baldwin says, there are so many things happening today, things that are tearing at the very fiber of our nation, that it's difficult to keep up with them all. Beyond that, I confess to sharing the deep intuition of Thomas Jefferson when he wrote in the Declaration of Independence, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably at the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their duty to throw off such government to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. I too, says Chuck, believe there is a design behind the long train of abuses to which American people have been subjected. It is incomprehensible that these abuses are coincidental. The various and sundry abridgments of our liberties and attacks on our national independence must be deliberate and planned. Nothing else makes sense. For example, common sense demands that the federal government's official one gunman theory explaining the assassination of President John F. Kennedy be rejected out of hand. Such a conclusion strains the limits of logic. Also straining logic is the politically incorrect interpretation of the life and influence of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That all the upheaval and turbulence of the 1960s was a result of one man's gallantry is the kind of stuff from which fairy tales are made. Moreover, the sheer volume of coincidences which have conclusively shaken the very foundations of our republic stagger the imagination and serve only to further augment the conclusion that designers must be at work. There must have been a design to turn American education upside down. Our Bible-based curricula, which has been in place since the days of Noah Webster, could not have been supplanted with John Dewey's secularism accidentally. Was it an accident that a country was built upon a revulsion towards foreign entanglements, could become admired in internationalist institutions such as the United Nations, as America has become today? Furthermore, design is only the only explanation for the fact that no matter which party controls the White House, the President's cabinet members and chiefs of America's top agency commonly share membership in the Council of Foreign Relations. Would anyone believe that such an occurrence was meaningless coincidence, if some people commonly shared membership in Christian Coalition? The list goes on almost without end. Is it a coincidence that no matter which network one watches, he or she is spoon-fed the same regurgitated news stories? Is it a coincidence that Hollywood continues to attempt to pervert the conscience and morals of our country, even when they repeatedly lose money in the process? National news media never give a fair shake to the Second Amendment advocates either, do they? Is it a coincidence that pro-life proponents are always referred to as anti-abortion advocates? Is it a coincidence that Jesse Helms was constantly called a far-right senator, but Ted Kennedy is never called a far-left senator? Yes, Thomas Jefferson and America's founding fathers believe that design was behind the Crown's long train of abuses and usurpations. Accordingly, can any thinking person not be convinced that design is behind the pursuance of the same object today? I'm convinced. And Chuck Baldwin did another bang-up job today in bringing these things out. I didn't realize Chuck Baldwin was such a conspiracy theorist, probably far more than I am. And I'm not sure I am a conspiracy theorist, other than that the conspiracy of what Satan was all about. I know there was conspiracy in the case of John F. Kennedy. That's just ridiculous, that whole government story there. And there's also conspiracy probably when it comes to the 9/11 bombings, at least to some extent. I don't know who was exactly behind it, but certainly the government story has lots of holes in it there as well. At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955 are the phone numbers in case you want to call in for the last few minutes of the show. Welcome back, Greenville. Glad you're back. We're back on the air in a broader spectrum of folks, and we look forward to hearing from you after we get back from this break.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here we also see George W. Bush standing firm on the Kyoto Pact. There isn't enough bad news about Bush in the news today as it is with this Iraqi Bill of Rights thing. Mr. Bush acknowledged that human activity is causing global warming. What an imbecile. I'm sorry, folks, but I know it's very disrespectful to the President of the United States, but this guy is totally off base. I mean, he is just dumb. People, or either that, or he's really smart and putting on a good act and trying to get his leftist agenda in there. Mr. Bush said he sees a better way forward that doesn't restrict growth of developed countries, and he's talking like a liberal here, as he truly is. Bono, however, expressed his disappointment at the goal of getting that $50 billion number appears slim for Bush to get his what he wants through the U2 and. From the Kyoto Protocol implemented all through Africa and elsewhere. This is President. This is from James Lakely's article in the Washington Times. Bush standing firm on the Kyoto Pact. What else have we got happening in the news today? Anxious Gonzalez courts the right. Also from the Washington Times, Anxious Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez. Charles Hurt writes on July 7th, Attorney General Alberto P. Gonzalez has been making the rounds of conservative groups in Washington lately, but key leaders remain opposed to putting him on the Supreme Court. Wonder why? Well, Mr. Gonzalez came out at an invitation to discuss reauthorization of the Patriot Act, and said Todd Gaziano of the Heritage Foundation, he's the eternal general, and we're honored to have him. Oh, really? Lunch. In addition to the Heritage Foundation, Mr. Gonzalez appeared recently in a weekly lunch hosted by Mr. Weyrich, a weekly meeting hosted by Grover Norquist for Americans for Tax Reform, blah, blah, blah. Also appeared on the conservative talk radio show hosted by Laura Ingraham, and took a high profile trip to visit troops in Iraq for the 4th of July. This guy supports abortion in the sense that he, in Texas, was not in favor of parental consent for teenagers having abortions, and this guy he's supporting the Patriot Act. That's two reasons alone he should not be on the Supreme Court. And he probably will get there, unfortunately, because we have George Bush. What do you expect? Fresh water to come out of a salty spring? Just look at what Jesus said. He said he felt enormous sense of gratitude to the people in the conservative movement, Mr. Weyrich said. Senator Fred Thompson of Tennessee, the Sherpa, who will usher the yet unnamed nominee through what promises to be a bitter and confirmation fight, he's a Republican that's doing that. One person who Mr. Gonzalez isn't getting any criticism from is Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid from Nevada Democrat, who said yesterday he would support Mr. Gonzalez for the Supreme Court. Alberto Gonzalez is qualified, he said, blah, blah, blah. Well, good. If the Democrats like him, you know it's okay. Another story. Let's see. How much time do we have left? About three. Well, a few. A few. Well, we got some issues. We got some articles about race that came up here. Are black people the result of a curse on ham? Why is my production, our research staff, sending me this? It was not Ham what was cursed. It was son Canaan. Canaan's descendants were probably brown-skinned and not black. False teaching about Ham has been used to justify slavery and other non-biblical racist practices. Rahab, mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, was a Canaanite. Why is the Tyranny Response Network staff, research staff, interested in this? The next article they have is on abandoning the word race. Race is a social construct derived mainly from perceptions conditioned by events of recorded history. I think that's true. I mean, in the sense that Christians are derived from every race and so forth. And what's this business? Next one. We're all the same color. Scientists have also shown that through study of mitochondrial DNA, that all people together trace their ancestry to a single mother. Well, good. I mean, since the story of Adam and Eve is true and literal, we're not surprised by that. It's not really a shock to us. Well, it's interesting stuff that we have, and this is there's a website the Tyranny Response Network staff apparently wanted mentioned on the air called onehumanrace.com, the only answer for racism. Before we can solve the problem of racism, we must first ask the question, where did the different races come from? For the answer, plus fascinating scientific research determining that there really are no white or black people, please continue. You also discover startling evidence of a connection between racism and the teaching of evolution. So this is, I see. So the whole idea of racism is an evolutionary doctrine, and then the research staff wants to be critical of Darwinian evolution. And we are here, and we're glad that we can be supportive of that sort of thing. And finally, to end a note here, we have ending note, U.S. mass transit alert goes to orange. People are starting to worry about it because of what happened in London, New York to San Francisco. They're checking subways and so forth. U.S. counterterror officials said they received intelligence last month, dating back to 2004, that Al-Qaeda was interested in attacking rail systems in Europe and the United States, including derailing trains or crashing trucks into them. Okay, so we got to watch out now, everybody. Be scared. Give more money to the government and more power. That solves the problem. Recent intelligence has indicated that London was considered a prime target for Islamic extremists, in part because Al-Qaeda was having difficulty getting people into the United States, one official said. I guess they could just cross over the Mexican border, though. They should try that. Maybe we don't want to tip them off to that. The Homeland Security Department said Thursday night it would issue a bulletin to federal, state, and local private sector officials, reminding them the rail system remains an attractive Al-Qaeda target. And with that positive note, we're going to end the Christian Worldview show today. Glad you joined us. Visit tyrannyresponse.com, sign the petition, look at the local events, and be supportive of us as we try to expand our signal in the upstate this month. And we look forward to seeing you back here right at the same place on Monday morning for another great edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us
Paul.
At 7:30 Monday
Your
morning
show
right
just
here
ended.
On TRN, the Tyranny Response
Network. Yeah, you just
Network,
missed it.
For another installment of Christian Worldview.
Yeah, well, we just went off the air just now. Playing the close. Okay, you can turn it off now, Josh. Press OK. Press OK up there. Press OK.